Good, happy Easter morning to you all. This is going to give me a little bit mobility this morning. We didn't announce it. I forgot to be clear, I guess. But we're doing three songs, and then I get to bring you the word, and then we're doing three more songs. So it wasn't that worship was really short. It's just we're going to split it up a little bit. So we're going to end with a time of singing as well. This morning's message, I guess, that doesn't work so well. Just needs to go up a little bit, that's all. Here, this one, that one works. This morning's title is where did it go? It's here somewhere. An Easter walk. So, and it's not the two guys on the road to Emmaus, sorry. It's an Easter walk. It's kind of, I should have named it an Easter roller coaster. So I'm gonna start here, and I'm going to work my way around and come back over here, is the plan. We'll see if I trip and fall, but that gives me the mobility that I need to keep my notes with me. To start our Easter walk this morning, it's kind of like a walk and talk. So I'm going to start here, except I'll be doing the walking and the talking, so, but sort of like a walk and talk. And we're going to start right here, close to the cross. We're going to start at the empty tomb. And you can turn to Luke 24. Luke 24. The roller coaster that we'll be on this morning is an emotional roller coaster. And you'll kind of get that gist as we go along. Some points will be strong, and some will be soft, and some will be possibly tearful, and some will be discerning, some will be thoughtful. And as I prepared this, it felt strange to add all of these dynamics into one message. But I trust that God would use it to glorify himself this morning as we take this Easter walk and talk this morning. So let's begin at the empty tomb in Luke 24. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again."'" And verse 8 is our key this morning. "And they remembered his words." And his is capitalized in my Bible. They remembered his words. They remembered what Jesus said. And today is all about remembering. Today is a day we set aside, a special day. It's marked even on our national calendar as a day to remember that Jesus rose from the dead. And Friday was our day to remember the agony of the cross, and today is the day to remember the joy of the resurrection. The day set aside to remember the empty tomb. And remember, we do. We read the eyewitness accounts again and again so we do not forget. We tell these facts to our children and grandchildren so that they will not forget. Today we remember the empty tomb because we serve a God and Savior who is alive. No other religion has a leader or founder, whether of a sect or a cult, who was dead and is now alive. Every other major religion in the world worships a dead individual. How sad. How can you worship someone or something that is dead? What hope is there in that? Our God reigns. He is alive. There is no God like our God. He reigns. My God is not dead. Christ is the Lord is risen today. My Redeemer lives. Jesus paid it all. There is none like you. How great is our God in Christ alone. My hope is built on nothing less. Oh, how he loves me. Great is thy faithfulness. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. How great thou art. Victory in Jesus, I surrender all. Blessed assurance, it is well with my soul. Some folks even sing about these things that we hold dear and true. And all based upon an empty tomb. Because our Savior conquered death. I want you to get that. He conquered death. He abolished death. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 15. Paul does an excellent job. Excuse me. Paul does an excellent job of describing the conquering of death. It's found in 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 35. He says, "But some will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it to a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another flesh of fish, and another flesh of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, and one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man, the last Adam, became a life-giving spirit. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immorality. Immortality. For this mortal must put on immortality. For when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters, there is no life on this earth apart from God. There is no breath on earth apart from God. God gives the very breath of life. Nothing lives apart from the breath of life which is given to each of us, His creation, by God Himself. Anything that depicts life or a form of life apart from God is evil and flies in the very face of Christ, who conquered death itself. Any depiction or animation that portrays life apart from the breath of life that God has given us is inherently evil, is an affront to Jesus Christ Himself, who gave His life for us that we may live beyond the grave and death. Do you get that? Any depiction or animation that portrays life apart from the breath of life that God has given us is inherently evil and is an affront to Jesus Christ Himself, who gave His life for us so that we may live beyond the grave and death. There is no other eternal way to eternal life. There is no other way to eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. I am the life. There is no other way through or around death other than Jesus Christ. Brothers, is there anything in your home that depicts life apart from God? Let it not be found among us. A t-shirt, a bumper sticker, a board game, a video game, a movie. We are being bombarded as a culture to accept life apart from God our Maker. And in the spirit, I'm not allowed to say the word, but it starts with a Z, and it is evil to the core. It depicts life apart from Jesus Christ. It mocks what He did to conquer death for us. To depict any form of life apart from God is appalling. Evil is a spirit. It is not confined to an object. It is a spirit. And don't think that that spirit stays on the black box that hangs on your wall. It don't. Brothers, beware. Evil will enter your home however you let it. Let men be the gatekeepers of their homes. Guard your homes. Get rid of the evil wherever you find it. Do not play with evil, especially in your home. At the Battle of Armageddon, men will stand up and fight against who? Against God. How is that possible? What will they think? That they can stand and fight against God. I'm here to tell you, it's coming. I can see it coming. When the movies first came out, they displayed the good guys fighting the Indians. And as movies progressed, the good guys were the cops and they fought the robbers. And as movies went on, through the 70s and 80s, the movies fought the monsters and the aliens. And today, They fight what? They fight spirits. They fight evil. And they're shown to win. A direct slap in Jesus' face, who conquered death and is the life. Beware. Be on guard. There is coming a day when men will think that they can stand against God, and that dumbing down has begun. And all of this points to the day that's coming. My brothers, do not be fearful, but stand for the truth. Clean out the evil from your homes and on your phones. There is no life apart from Christ, and anything that depicts this is evil and against Jesus and mocks his triumph over death. Some practical suggestions on how to clean up spiritually in your home. I figured Easter was as good a time as any to bring some practical spiritual parenting tips. Now, men, don't lose the fire that I believe was just planted in your chests. Take a breath and ask this question: how do I proceed to clean my home? What do I do? And I believe it starts in Luke 6. You can turn there. In Luke 6, starting at verse 39. In Luke 6, 39, this is where we start, men. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. Men, we start with ourselves. How do you clean your house? You start with yourself. Consider your own heart before you approach the heart of your children or your wife. This is where we start, right here. My request is that you meditate on this word. And I heard a radio preacher say, I didn't look it up, but he understood that this word meditate in the Greek was a cow chewing his cud. What a great depiction of the word meditate. It just comes up again and again. And you rehash it, and you rehash it, and you mull over it, and you chew it. Sometimes it tastes the same, sometimes it tastes different, but you keep chewing it. Meditate. What does this passage mean for me? I can't tell you what it means for you, but I believe that the Holy Spirit, in earnest desire and longing, will show you, brothers, what to do. I believe it. Read this. Meditate on it. Chew over it. Ask God, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for my house? And once your heart is right before God, you can purely approach those you care about to help them. Now, men, you do have the right to be the bull in the china closet. It is your home. After you have checked your own heart, you can ram the rest of your ideas in the front door and go out the back door with all the TVs and video games and books and magazines and make a heaping pile in the backyard and burn it as you sing Kumbaya. You can do that. I had coffee, sorry. I go a little fast. Shouldn't have had coffee this morning. But there are a few other suggestions for you this morning. if you get to raise a young lady and you get to help her with cleaning up a few things around your house, be aware that the ladies are not about the act of throwing bad things out as they are about how you make them feel protected. That's kind of the key for the young lady, protection. And if you can portray to them that you're protecting them, you'll gain quite a bit of ground. It's more about the relationship before than the actual cleaning. You can raise your voice and proclaim that this is clean out for their protection, but you will lose their heart behind it. A lady, especially a young lady, wants to trust her father. And a quiet conversation before explaining why, and a follow-up conversation asking how things are going after, really subdues the pain of spiritual cleanup. And many times the relationship is strengthened through the cleanup process. Now to help a young man with some spiritual cleanup. If you are choosing a different path than the bull in the china closet, which that approach does work, but you end up with more bulls. And bulls, as they grow, bump heads. That's just what they do. Can't say that approach is all wrong. Many of us here were raised that way. But there is other ways. See, my dad was not a bull. I think he was a little bullish early on. But when I was 6, my mommy went to heaven. And when I was 9, I got a new mom. And there's something about losing a dearly loved one that gives you a special connection to heaven. No matter what age you are, heaven becomes real. And it was my privilege to play a small part in Ray and Doretta's wedding yesterday. And as I considered that task, I had to ponder again, why did my own mother die? I plainly recognized the fruit of that experience, but still the question why occasionally resurfaces after many, many years. I can see the fruit of my mother's passing is well marked by a complete change of direction in my young life. I was headed down the wrong way. I was actually a bully in kindergarten and first grade in a public school in Goshen. And when my dad got remarried, we moved to Florida and I went to a Christian school. And my life changed. And I believe you all are experiencing the fruit of that to God's glory. And God provides again and again. My brother and I are ministers and have been for a number of years now. And I had to ponder all of this again this week as I had to wonder how did my mother pray for her sons? And then a thought hit me. I wonder, did she pray that prayer? Did she really pray that prayer? You know the one that says, if you need to, God, take me, but save my sons? My mother was very close to God and very musical. And her genes are evident today in my son. I believe that my mother would have gladly prayed that prayer. And I really do not know for certain. And I don't. I don't know for certain if she ever did. But I can say this with confidence, that Marilyn would have. Moving on, so how do you raise a boy? And I suggest you don't raise a boy, you raise a man. I suggest a few simple points. It starts with no, moves to not yet, and then now. No, not yet, now. That's how you raise a man. I'd like someone to help me illustrate this. Someone who's over 12, I need a volunteer. You don't have to say anything. Young man over 12, anybody going to help me out? 12 or over? I'll take 11. Anybody want to volunteer? Okay, sure. Thank you, Jerry. Good, good. Okay, great, great, great. Okay, you can stand right over here, okay? And turn around and just face me, okay? So, this is my quick description, okay? So, you can just stand there and receive this. This is good, okay? No, not yet, now. Okay, now, you can stay there. No, not yet, now. You can be seated. Thank you, Jerry. I said the same thing in the same tone, and there was a huge difference. How do you raise a man? You raise a man within arm's reach. You're there. You're there. That's how you raise a man. The sooner you start no, the better. The sooner you start not yet, the better. And the sooner you start now, it's your turn, the better. That's how you raise a man. You raise a man within arm's reach. Reminds me of how Jesus interacted with his Father while on earth. And Jesus did not speak unless God told him what to say. And Jesus did not heal anyone apart from the will of his Father. Jesus spent hours communing with his Father, often in a garden. And Jesus was connected to his Father in many, many ways. He was right here. He was at arm's length. And Jesus never brought glory to himself, but always reflected the praise and admonition to his Father. Jesus and his Father were one, except for the hours that Jesus spent on the cross. Jesus bore the weight of the sin of the whole world on the cross. God, his Father, who was always there for him, had never left him. And right when Jesus needed him the most, he was gone. The sun went dark, and the earth shook with God the Father's grief as Jesus hung on the cross. And Jesus even had to die. He went all the way to death. And he did that for you. He conquered death for you. He conquered the grave so there is no more sorrow and sadness. So that we who are saved may have eternal life. Life given by God through Jesus Christ. Life with no fear of death. And for this, we are eternally grateful. We are. And the worship team may come and lead us in their closing songs. For this fact, we are grateful. I am so thankful for forgiveness for my family who extends that grace and forgives as we fight against the enemy and stand firm in truth. Thank you, Jesus. You came. I knew you would come. Holy are you, Lord. May I cling to evermore and walk in the truth of your resurrection. I am thankful that my brother is at church today. Thank you, Lord, for all you have given me in the past year. Sometimes I feel like I'm undeserving of the success I've achieved and the happiness that you have blessed me with, but God, I am still very grateful. I thank God, written by a small person, for dying on the cross for us. For family and the happy memories we share and make. Happy Easter. The tomb is empty. Thank you, Lord, for conquering death, because you live, I have eternal life. Thank you for calling me out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you that in you I have the righteousness of God. Thank you for the cross. Praise our Heavenly Father for what He did on the cross. We have freedom, victory, and power. Bless His name forever. Amen. Let us remember to be grateful. Let's stand for worship.